Government leaders expect small business contracting to hit the 23% goal of all prime contracts going to small businesses when they get the results for fiscal 2013. That would happen for the first time in 7 years. But some in the contracting community see warning signs of bigger problems for small firms. Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller's here to explain why some want to rain on the small business success parade. Jason, we have heard 23%, 23%, 23%, 23%. If they hit it, that strikes me that that's a big deal. So why is there this dark cloud that you allude to?
Well, first, let's be clear. The final numbers are not complete yet for 2013, but Emily Murphy, a House Small Business Committee staff member, and others say all signs are pointing to the fact that despite the fact that the government is spending less money overall in acquisitions in 2013, small firms, small businesses received at least 23% of all prime contracts. And you're right, Francis, that is a huge achievement, especially in light of these agency failings over the last 7 years. But the reduced spending also means, I think this is where the concern comes in, fewer opportunities for agencies. And when you add the shutdown and sequestration and hiring freezes and cuts to training funds, agencies themselves are trying to address shortcomings in their acquisition workforces, meaning they still have good people, but fewer of them to meet the job. So small firms and other observers are actually seeing a rise in what we call contract bundling or contract consolidations, and agencies are not meeting the statutory requirements to justify why they are taking these actions. Rob Burton is a procurement attorney with Venable in Washington and a former deputy administrator at the Office of Federal Procurement Policy. He says that is one issue that is getting that isn't getting a lot of attention in the small business community, but could have a big impact on small firms. Now, Emily Murphy says contract bundling and consolidation are among House Small Business Committee Chairman Sam Graves' top concerns.
The numbers that we have in the database are wrong, and that's bad from a public policy standpoint, but it's even worse when you consider that it means that neither the justification, the mitigation, nor the data capture is taking place when it comes to bundling and consolidation. It means that all this is taking place, and while you or I might catch a contract that's $10 billion, no one's out there looking at the $75 million contract. So Chairman Graves introduced legislation, it's H.R. 4094, that requires SBA to work with GSA, DOD, OFPP, other agencies, to really go back and make sure we're capturing the right information so that then the right processes are triggered. I'm fairly confident that that's going to be included in this year's defense authorization, which gives it a good chance of making it into law.
Now, Murphy says that provision that would potentially go in the defense authorization bill would be a good first step, but it won't address the bigger concerns, specifically around strategic sourcing and bundling. She says the goal is to maintain a certain percentage of dollars going to small firms, but they're not thinking in terms of the GSA, the administration, about the long-term impact on the industrial base that these efforts, strategic sourcing and bundling, are having, could be having on companies and then forcing companies to go out of business. Now, Ken Dodds is the Small Business Administration's Director of Policy Planning and Liaison. He says bundling has been a huge issue since the late 1990s.
Let's be clear. Agencies can bundle and they can consolidate. They just have to justify it. There are thresholds that they have to do. They have to analyze the data. They have to mitigate. There are things that they do. So agencies often get in trouble when they try to ignore it and when they don't do the actual work that they have to do. If agencies do it, they can do it. The problem is we don't really look 5-10 years down the road to see whether they were right or not, and there are no ramifications if they were wrong. I mean, okay, I thought I'd save 20% on that contract. It's 10 years later. What difference does it make? I'm going to consolidate this one because I'm going to save a lot of money again. So it's the backwards look that we don't really have right now.
Now, this issue came to light actually recently when SBA ruled that the General Services Administration did not justify its rationale for consolidating requirements under the Office Supplies 3 Strategic Sourcing RFP. Now, I'm going to have more on this specific case tomorrow when I go inside the reporter's notebook. And let me tell you, Francis, there are a few things that make me laugh about procurement.
That's for sure.
It's not a funny thing.
No.
But this SBA's decision, the fallout post, is I'll call it a belly turner. But the fact is, let's go back to the topic at hand. The fact is agencies are not checking the box. They're not following the rules. And because of this, they're not doing the justification. And I think that's why Congressman Graves is pushing the legislation.
Jason, you get an award because you're the first person ever in the history of In-Depth with Francis Rose to say belly turner.
Turns my belly.
On the program. I can't wait to hear more about that inside the reporter's notebook tomorrow. How are small businesses reacting to this? How are they adapting to the contract bundling, consolidations, and so on?
I think agencies and small businesses are really trying to be innovative at the very least. I mean, one way is through the creation of what they call contractor teaming arrangements, CTA. This is a concept specifically for GSA schedule contractors where two or more, could be small, could be large, or could be one large, one small, come together to meet the agency who's ordering their needs. The idea is that there's not this prime and subcontractor relationship, but they're acting on the same level so that there's no hierarchy, there's no even ownership stake like you see in maybe a joint venture. Kay Ely is GSA's Director of Schedule 70 in the Integrated Technology Solutions Office in the Federal Acquisition Service.
We're still working some issues through that. Probably when I'm out addressing audiences, that's one of the things I hear about the most. However, it is extremely critical to have that avenue. So there's some details of that we're kind of working through. And again, it's one of my biggest challenges is consistency. So sometimes you're going to get a different answer depending on who you talk to. So I'm trying to work through that. I'm working with the acquisition policy folks.
Now, Ely says the goal is to make sure the CTAs are aligned with policy and based on standards. Now, GSA actually put online a list of frequently asked questions to help further explain CTA. We will post the link to that frequently asked questions on contractor teaming arrangements on federalnewsradio.com later today. But CTAs aren't well understood by vendors and agencies alike, meaning mistakes or missteps are highly possible, and I think that's why the FAQs came out. Now, another way agencies and vendors are dealing with bundling or consolidation is through a new CAO, Chief Acquisition Officers Dialogue, launched just yesterday by OFPP and the Chief Acquisition Officers Council. Now, this dialogue asks interested parties, general public, for ideas to help solve three specific procurement issues. The first is how to increase small and disadvantaged business participation in government contracting, including companies that don't necessarily always look to the government as a potential client. The second would be around changes to rules or practices that are needed to increase innovation across government. And the third is what compliance requirements are burdensome. Again, we are going to link to that dialogue, too, on federalnewsradio.com later today.
So where do all the subcontracting goals and plans fit into the discussion? Because agencies also have goals for those, as well as the prime contracting.
Right. In many ways, it gets lost in the discussion, but it's such an important thing, as prime contracting are, because that's where agencies, small businesses usually get a foot in the door. But there are a lot of concerns around that. I think one of the biggest ones came up today during the ACT-IACT Small Business Conference event in Washington around how agencies measure their progress against those subcontracting goals, or I should say the prime contractor's progress. Each agency has those additional goals that they're trying to meet as well. Now, the Small Business Act statute says subcontracting goals should be based on total value of the prime contract, not the total contract value, meaning the prime will say, I'm going to say $100 million contract. The prime says I'm going to subcontract out $20 million of that $100 million. So the goals are based on that $20 million. But there's also disagreement because the statute says it should be based on total value of the contract. Again, going back to total value of what's going to be subcontracted out. This is confusing. Let me try to break it down again for you a little easier, because I realized that this gets into the weeds. $100 million contract. Is the subcontracting goals based on $100 million award, or is the subcontracting goals based on what the prime contractor expects to subcontract out? In this case, $20 million. And that's a big difference for small firms. I think there is a growing recognition that there's this inconsistency across government, and the federal acquisition regulations is ambiguous about really what does this mean. For instance, at the Department of Health and Human Services, they're trying to tackle this. They actually developed a change to the HHS FAR supplement to deal with this confusion. That draft change actually is available for public comment now. We also heard today from Sandra Broadnex, the Director of Small Business Programs for the National Geospatial and Intelligence Agency, on this.
OSD Andre Gunter office is working on a subcontracting working group, so we will bring that up. I agree it needs to be changed and be consistent with the small business participation plan at the source selection level, because that is based on the total contract value. So I got it noted, I've sent it, and we will work it.
Now, I also checked with the folks at OFPP to see if this subcontracting confusion was on their radar. Matthew Bloom, the associate administrator at OFPP, says it's not, but they are aware of these challenges. Now, I've also found out there was a meeting on Capitol Hill today around subcontracting and the fact that there are actually two different systems that take in subcontracting reporting information. One is the Electronic Subcontracting Reporting System, or ESRS. The other one is the Federal Subcontracting Reporting System, FSRS, under the USAspending.gov portal.
Jason Miller, Federal News Radio Executive Editor. You have more on federalnewsradio.com, my friend.
We will, and more tomorrow morning on The Federal Drive with Emily Kopp and Tom Temin.